Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Good morning, Metroplex. We have already reached the hump day edition of Sean RJ, and that is Roberto Bobby Bell. We got Pepe in the back. We're live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube trying to get you to your weekend as quickly as possible on DFW Sports Station. We have a loaded show today. Chopping it up during the Expressway. Power rankings at 8. It's a Meat Church Wednesday with Matt Pittman at 8:20. Dan Hunt on the big news as they are trying, they already passed it last night, but they're trying to replicate the Ford Center, basically the Star in Frisco for soccer here in town as we're gearing up for the World Cup as well.
World Cup coming in a year and a half, a little more than a year and a half, 2 years.
Can't wait.
And that is going to be a big deal.
No,
you
I know.
Will. You will.
Oh, I
you
can't
will.
Wait for Joe Trahan to
be
come
all into
in.
It.
Joe Trahan to come in here at 9 and let us know that we have tickets to the event that the entire world is going to. You and I have tickets.
We don't want Bobby and
we don't want fake soccer fans.
Look, I'm very familiar with the old checkered ball. You don't got to tell me.
No, we don't have to tell you anything. I'm really excited. I'm really excited to see grass at AT&T Stadium. That's what I'm really excited to see. Is Messi going to play? That's who I want to go see.
Big news yesterday and surprising news and refreshing news that the Miami Dolphins put Tua on IR.
IR, and you know, it's not the old IR. Obviously, he can come back, but they'll say now, because it's usually a 4 week thing, right, Bobby? And now they're saying though he won't return till week 8.
He missed two games. There is a bye week in there, so he's already missed two. He'll get we're already past week 2, so he'll miss 4 games and a bye week, so it becomes 5.
Okay.
Weeks.
All right, so 5 weeks. And that's tremendous. Like, that is the absolute right thing to do. Like, there's no rush now. He's got himself essentially a month and a half or a month and change to figure this out and to go through all the steps, recover, rest, see neurologists, specialists, get his cardio and fitness back, and then be ready to go. And maybe coerce him into wearing a Guardian cap.
And the Miami Dolphins are probably out of it, but I was listening to Perloff and Maggie.
I'm sorry.
While driving in, and he threw out the name Trey Lance. I know every time it happens, we roll our eyes and laugh, but Mike McDaniel connection. I would go and get Tannehill if I was them, if I'm trying to save the season until Tua came back. Go get Tannehill or someone else like that. But there is a Mike McDaniel San Francisco connection.
You know, you if you ever want to go national, Sean, if that's your goal in life, all you got to do is whenever anything happens like this, just like, you know, do an entire 15-minute segment on like, here's why I think Tom Brady is going to be the replacement there. Here's why I think this or that. That's always the default right there, is to throw out the big, you know, connected name, whether that's realistic or not. I think this is probably just buying time so that they can delay for 5 weeks and figure out how do we keep him off the field. Like, how do we justify, or how are we able to work this so that regardless of what he wants, we can say you can't go back out there.
Oh, so you think they're doing this?
I think this is because, and you don't need an IR hold to be able to just evaluate the concussion. And so, like, I'm sure this particular concussion, he'll have recovered quickly enough to have been available, maybe not this week, but the week after. Like, in general, that's how long those things take. To put him on IR and say, we don't have you for 5 weeks, that's, to me, they're just like, we got to buy ourselves time and figure out how we're going to do this and consult doctors and consult attorneys and figure out what our liability is. And if they determine that he's too hot to handle, essentially, and the issue of having every single hit that a player like that takes, a prominent player, having every single hit they take for the rest of their career put under a microscope, I don't think the NFL wants that.
Well, they may not want it, but like if the doctors clear him, I mean, what are you going to do?
Well,
like if he's under contract, he's cleared, and he's ready to play, I don't know. It's like
they kept a healthy Kaepernick out. I tend to side with Bobby that they usually they'll figure out a way to make Tua cool with it so that he's not like, hey, I want to come back and play. They usually get what they want, it feels like.
I mean, they do get what they want. I mean, Kaepernick wasn't cool with it. He sued the league and he won. Like, now, like, is Tua going to sue?
There was a settlement and it was not.
That's winning.
No, it wasn't. Like, if you.
He wanted to play, though.
That right. Never.
Yeah, he wanted to play.
But he didn't win on that front.
But he was also no longer on a roster.
He didn't get a settlement anywhere near what was reported publicly. But, like, the stuff that was rumored out there. I'm just saying it was not a win. No, he lost in the end.
But, like, Tua's on. Like, the difference is Tua was under contract. Cap wasn't. Cap had his contract expired. And nobody signed him. Like, this would just be like they would have to. There was a plausible deniability that they kept him out of the league and blackballed him with Kaepernick, right? They could say, no, he didn't. Prove it. If they don't let him play and he's under contract, he wants to play, like, there's no plausible deniability there.
Well, they're not going to. It wouldn't play out like that. It would be much more convoluted, and something would happen to where Tua would be like, you know, this is best for me and my family with some crazy sum of money. It's not going to be
payout.
If it's going to be as obvious and loud as a fight of I want to play, no, that's not going to happen. But how are they going to grease it? I don't know.
Convince him to walk away, or it's like when you hear about these murder trials or something like that, where it's like the defense attorney and the prosecution, they each find their expert witness to present how it's definitively the way that they're putting it. They're going to find their doctor to say, yeah, he absolutely should not play anymore.
Yeah.
Like, they'll find a doctor for the league or for the team to say, yeah, he can't go back out there.
So good on the Dolphins, man. Yep. You know, Mike McDaniel, I think he got a contract extension, so he's not right there on the hot seat, and they may just be punting on their season for the bigger life move. And that usually doesn't happen in the world of sports. I got a lot of DMs yesterday, probably the most DMs I've ever gotten after a Jerry Jones interview. And I think we could feel it while Jerry was on with us. We talked about it afterwards. I think it was as uninspiring and as less of a sales job than Jerry has ever given this early in the season, because he didn't have the answers to the Cowboys' glaring issues that we've been talking about all off season. It started off with that didn't feel like Green Bay 2.0. What? How could you ever feel that way? RJ asked, did Mike Zimmer make adjustments? He's like, no, he didn't need to. He didn't fail to make any adjustments. What are you talking about? What? Oh, we're not even watching the same sport. Forget about the same game. And then Choppy asked, are you going to be like the Kansas City Chiefs? They go and get Kareem Hunt to bring in with Pacheco out with the injury. And Jerry didn't understand this line of questioning either.
Now, again, I'm really, I don't know what you're talking about as far as where you're looking, what you're talking about there. But still, I like what we are with our running backs. We've got good depth. We just didn't get to run them enough Sunday.
I was trying to figure out, like, was he confused? Did he think RJ was saying Kareem Hunt was visiting them or something? Like, I wonder, because he almost seemed caught off guard by, like, the idea of, like, well, I have no idea about Kareem Hunt being around here.
Yeah.
But, like, it was almost. So I wonder if he just, like, got confused on what that was, and that's why he just cycled back to default of, I thought the running game was good.
I can see that. Dallas and Kansas City sound very similar when you ask about them.
Look,
you
know, I don't know what you're talking
the Hunt
about.
Family's involved in both cities.
The good Chiefs job. And Cowboys, I mean, they're both words that start with a C, and that's it. One syllable versus two. So, yeah, I could totally see how he would confuse me saying, you know, Kansas City's bringing this team, this player in. Are you guys going to bring anybody in?
Did you guys get that or feel any of that with the lifelessness or the lack of inspiration towards some of the issues that we think are there getting solved moving forward? Like, normally Jerry can trick me with a little bit of a sales job here and there. I got none of it yesterday.
He didn't try. It didn't seem.
He tried.
Well, like, but he didn't go hard on the sell. Right. He wasn't selling like, oh, this is perfect. Everything is like, you know what I mean? Like, he didn't try to sell us to me. It was more of a, it's no big deal. It's one game. Right.
Yeah.
You know, like that, that to me is more his stance. And maybe that's the case, the situation of the NFL now where it's week two, everybody knows it, week one, week two, you're still trying to figure your team out.
He felt like he was on the campaign trail yesterday. He felt like he was touring, and we can do it. We will do it. We have the pieces to do it. That just felt like, man, he was on the campaign trail.
Yeah, I'm probably misreading or reading too much into this. I do wonder if he knows, just like we all know.
Then the Dalvin Cook thing, that set me off and everyone else. No, I really don't see any signs that Dalvin Cook would play this weekend. It's almost as if he really believes we just couldn't get into our running game because of the score, but the personnel and everything is fine.
Yeah, I wonder if he knows what a lot of fans have said the whole time, which is they didn't get better this offseason.
He told Stephen A. Smith with a lot of sincerity, I'm surprised and a little bit of hurt over the negativity with the coverage. He sounded serious in that, like I'm reacting with him saying Zimmer didn't fail to adjust. That wasn't Green Bay 2.0, and our running back room is fine. That's how surprised he sounded at the offseason criticism when he sat down with Stephen.
I think if and I know we've talked about before, like, how reasonable is it to say McCarthy's on the hot seat? Like, I think
how reasonable?
Yeah, in terms of, like, how reasonable obvious. This, how early in the season. I mean, obviously he is over the course of the season, but, like, how...
Like, today,
how quickly, no, but, yeah, how yeah, quickly
like
can
the end
he go?
Of the year, yeah.
I think if his contract was up last year, like, McCarthy was only back because he was under contract. That was it.
Yeah.
Like he's not... they wouldn't have brought him back if he had been expired. And so because of that, I think there is a little bit of, you know, I've got to see it and I got to prove it. And I don't know how motivated he is to necessarily fluff some things up right now, is the thing. I think he'll throw out the, it's early and, you know, yeah, we got it. But I don't know how much there's like a full belief in what they're doing right now. Because I don't know that he would have brought him back anyway if his contract were expired.
I do hate, you're absolutely right that if he was gone, if his contract was over, you know, last year at this offseason, he'd be gone, which upsets me even more that you would even bring him back. It's the old Jerry Foley or Jeremy Foley, anything that will be done eventually must be done today. You know, if you're going to do it eventually, do it. Why keep him around? You know, there's no point in waiting for another year, and it's only that leads to the cheapness.
Yep.
And it's the only reason why he would be here is because he doesn't want to pay him to sit around on a beach.
I don't know that that's even cheapness. I think it's more like... I think it's almost just a little bit of like punishment. Like, if I'm paying you, you're doing something for me. It's more just like almost spiteful, I feel like, than it is cheap.
Micah Parsons went on his podcast and gave his perspective on what changed so much from the Browns win to the Saints embarrassment.
You know, the fans have a lot of questions. What was the difference between this week and last week? Honestly, to my standard and level, I wouldn't say there's a big drop off. But, you know, I don't know if it was just an earlier game or, you know, but, you know, we weren't flying to the ball the same way. We weren't striking blocks the same way. We weren't playing complementary football. And I keep telling you guys, complementary football is so big in the NFL. Special teams has to be clicking. Offense has to be clicking. Defense has to be clicking. And we just weren't clicking defensively. I thought Dak played a really good game. And we did not help our quarterback.
He just blame.
Add that to the list.
The time of the game.
Exactly, Peyton. Add that to burnt out.
I said this is a joke. Like, when we were doing pregame, Eric was like, there's a lot of Saints fans here. And I was like, Saints fans are used to noon kickoffs. Cowboys fans have 3 o'clock. They're not even here yet. You know, the team, they'll start a little slow. They're used to playing at 3. I said that as a joke. I didn't expect that he would say that seriously. But
I think he's just kind of throwing it out there. But it came from somewhere. Came from somewhere. So now, if they're tired, burnt out, sun coming in.
Circadian sleep rhythm a little bit off.
An early game.
I don't know if it was just an earlier game.
Yeah.
Peyton.
Because I do remember.
On the money with his drops today.
I mean, what is a very famous thing this team does is when they win a game at noon, Zach Martin always
It's
yells,
only 3:15.
They always yells at the time. This isn't the first time they've played a noon game. They're excited. They love noon games. Players love noon home games. They get their whole day.
Everyone loves a nooner. Absolutely.
Right, absolutely.
877-881-1053. So that's a little recap of the Tua news and Inside the Star on your home of the Dallas Cowboys with Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Bell. Last week, we went over the stats, and we gave the predictions of who would be finished at 0-2. We got 2-0. Are they for real? Versus 0-2, are they done? You got to give your hot takes on it, and the heat is being turned up. I think we were blaming the wrong guy yesterday, calling plays in Philadelphia. 2-0 versus 0-2, what it really means, next on Sean and RJ.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Forget about the pitchers is Wyatt Langford the best part of the end of the Rangers season, and Chris Young on getting his extension. That's coming up at 6:40 on your home of the World Series champs, Sean Sharif, Bobby Belt, and RJ Choppy with a little around the NFL. 0-2, 2-0, contender or pretender.
All right, so let's just look at I'm going to leave off like Kansas City, right?
And Bobby, what was the stat that you updated on the 2-0, 0-2 as we were going through that last week?
The in terms of which teams make the playoffs if they start 0-2?
Yeah.
So it's 10% if it's the first 2 weeks, but there's actually Michael Lopez from Next Gen Stats, who does like analytics stuff for the NFL. He had said that it's actually a similar rate of 10% make the playoffs when you look at any two-loss stretch throughout the season. So if you lose two games in weeks 12 and 13, about 10% of those teams make the playoffs.
So that's equal to starting 0-2?
It's about the same. Now, the problem is that people stagger it, obviously, throughout the year. It's odd. Weeks, if you want to lose two games in a row, the time to do it apparently is weeks 9 and 10. If you lose in weeks 9 and 10 over the last 15 years, 24% of those teams who lose back-to-back games in 9 and 10 make the playoffs. And the lowest number outside of week 17 and 18, when a lot of people are resting players, or 16 and 17, is weeks 12 and 13. So you start heading into December, if you lose back-to-back games there, that's actually the lowest. It's about 8% of teams who lose back-to-back games there.
That's really, really surprising, because you would think two-game losing streaks happen all the time.
I know you'd like that.
You know, that's very, very good.
Good job on me with the research.
So,
I stole it.
All right, so pretender, contender, 2-0. 0-2. All right, so again, I leave in KC off. We all assume that they are a contender. What about the Chargers?
So they had two cake games to start.
Raiders and Panthers.
J.K. Dobbins is maybe your early fantasy football running back of the season. I do believe in the Harbaugh factor, that when he comes into a new program, the toughness – being refreshing, it's gonna benefit your program. Now, let's define contender. By contender, we're talking about that they could make the Super Bowl.
Well, that's...
How are we defining it?
Yeah.
That's how I put a heavy emphasis on contender.
Yeah, because they're not making the Super Bowl, I don't think. I don't think that's realistic. Maybe they're a playoff team.
Yeah, the AFC's loaded. If they were in the NFC, maybe the Super Bowl. But yeah, I would say, can you see it? Can you see a path where they get into the Super Bowl?
I will say no, but it's very tough to judge them after these two scrubs that they played. Bobby, what do you say to it? Because you are a big Harbaugh guy.
Yeah, and I mean, I obviously, like, they've got a really talented quarterback, and so far the run game concepts have worked really well for them. They've been able to run all over teams, and defensively, they've given up 10 points and 3 points. Like, they've been really good defensively. You do have to kind of stagger it or look at it through the lens of who were they playing. And so for me, I think they could be good. And maybe better than I initially thought, but I don't think Super Bowl's possible.
Hey, who would you pick between the Chargers and Buffalo?
Oh, Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the rest of the AFC.
I almost didn't put Buffalo in this because it's like they're a contender.
Oh. All right. Well, none of us had them with a playoff pick or top five anywhere near our power rankings.
No.
So you're buying the Buffalo Bills, maybe a little bit of a tease for eight. My point was, when you look at the rest of the AFC, you also have to look at the landscape. I'm not totally buying Buffalo right now. No one else in the AFC East. With Baltimore and Cincy being 0-2, can you really buy a ton in the AFC North? There's only Houston in the South, so that leaves the Chiefs and then maybe an opening for the Chargers, right? So I was trying to pick teams kind of on that same level as the Chargers to be like, hey, if they get two playoff wins, they could be in the AFC championship game. Right now, though, I will still say no.
I'll say no because I think they're going to be a wild card team, and it's tough to go on the road three times and make the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Okay. How about Pittsburgh?
No.
I want so bad to see evidence that Mike Tomlin can't do it. Not because I'm rooting against Mike Tomlin, but because it's like it doesn't...
They can't make the AFC championship game. They can't make it there. They can't.
I think it's more likely than the Chargers.
No!
Just because like I can't do it. Like it's one of these... It's just as crazy as the 20-year run of somebody not winning back-to-back in this division where it's like, at some point, he's good.
There's a big... Again, you're off to an 0-2 start following... The discussions this morning, one in the commercial break, one here.
What was that? I don't remember the commercial break.
Being 9-8 doesn't mean that you're a contender. It means that you're guaranteed over mediocrity. 500. And you're guaranteed nice surprise when you don't have a quarterback. Did you see that Russell Wilson again dressed in full pads while being inactive? Fields is going to start week 3. And Mike Tomlin did something I had not heard of before. He handed out petty balls. He handed out petty balls afterwards. You know what that is?
Like they're like revenge balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get a game ball when you get a win against your former team. So Russell Wilson got a game ball while dressing inactive for the Steelers' win over Denver this past week.
Mr.
Unlimited. They've allowed 16 points.
So the only opening and caveat I'll give is that they have the steel curtain defense. That their defense, which we're going to have to preview when the Cowboys face them eventually, is not in the conversation all-time great, but they're very good.
It's a very good defense.
We're going to have to, if they are, like, maybe they can get some 16, 13, 17, 14 wins. You can't. Justin Fields has done nothing to make us go, oh, man, the Bears are going to rue the day. No. Choppy, what say you?
In terms of the contender, absolutely not. No, absolutely not. Not a chance. Houston.
So are you answering yes on Pittsburgh, by the way?
I'm not willing to say they're not. So I think it's possible. Okay. I think it's possible that they could find themselves there.
Bobby shuddered as soon as you said that.
Yeah, that was the thing that took me back. Why is Houston in this and not Buffalo?
Well, I didn't say Buffalo was.
Buffalo's
better than Houston.
Buffalo's
better than Houston.
Houston is the most legitimate threat to Kansas City in the AFC. And it's not even close.
Are you starting to feel wrong about your anti-Houston sentiment in the offseason?
No, I feel stronger about it. They've played two bad teams and they're barely 2-0. Like that's their point differential is +8. And they threw who they play? The Colts and
the Bears.
Bears. And they were ugly games. Like, I'm not.
You know, there's only six teams in the AFC with a plus point differential, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Only six. But I will say contender. I'm buying.
Not only contender, I mean the most legitimate contender threat to Kansas City on the AFC side.
Bobby's AFC Super Bowl selection.
I'm going to say I don't think they have a chance of making the Super Bowl. I don't have a chance in hell. There's no way they get by Kansas City. I don't see how they get by Buffalo, and I don't see how they get by.
I mean, has Kansas City looked like a world beater the first 2 weeks?
No, but they've actually played good, you know, quality opponents.
Baltimore just lost to the Raiders, and we're just given the Chargers hell for beating the Raiders. It's like, how's that a good example of who you've beaten?
I mean, look, it is the NFL. You are going to lose games that you're not supposed to. But I mean, they played the Chiefs. They played the Chiefs tight. I don't know. Like, are you going to compare beating the Ravens to beating the Bears?
Look, they have not been impressive wins. They've been ugly. There's no disputing
that. The best thing I could say about them is that they found a way to win.
But when I watch them play and I look at the weapons that CJ has, and I do believe in CJ, like if D'Amico's defense is good and fine, they are going to be dangerous. So I'm saying contender, and I don't have hesitation.
By the way, the two
And again, highest- part of that is the AFC landscape to me. It's weak. I think it's weak.
The two highest pressure rates in the NFL from pass rushers are Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, who both play for the Texans.
Ask Caleb Williams in the ice tub how he's feeling. Check his nails.
You think the AFC is worse than the NFC?
Okay, let's just go like team for team, I guess. San Francisco, Kansas City, Detroit. Buffalo, I don't know if we can say Green Bay right now, but Dallas, Philadelphia, I think the NFC top five may be stronger because of the AFC North, because of Baltimore and Cincy at 0-2.
I mean,
if Baltimore and Cincy were 2-0, I wouldn't be talking like this.
And there's a question, I mean, we're asking legitimate questions about how good are Tampa and New Orleans right now. Like, they look like two of the better teams in the NFL. We don't know yet.
I think that's what happens with this league is that we overreact to two games. Because, I mean, I think we all think that Baltimore is going to end the year with 10 to 12 wins, right?
No.
Well, you don't like Lamar. But.
I mean, I think Baltimore's been steady. I just think they've got a difficult schedule ahead of them.
They do. All right, let's go.
Pretender, 0-2, 2-0 here on the fan.
Let's do Buffalo.
Bobby? Choppy, you could take it first since you believe.
I mean, look, their point differential is as high as just about anybody. They destroyed Miami. And, you know, Miami's a decent team. Arizona has proven to be at least a competitive football team as well, what they did to the Rams. We'll see what they do to the Lions this week. They have them at home.
Probably should have lost the Arizona game.
They were down 17-3. They absolutely should have probably lost. If Arizona beats Detroit, and Buffalo wins this week. They got Jacksonville.
You
got
to buy into what they're trying to do being enough. I think the Chargers and the Bills are trying to follow a similar formula. They're trying to take so much off of the quarterback's plate. Harbaugh, again, doing it with J.K. Dobbins, the running game. Go look at the attempts. I wonder where Allen and Herbert are in pass attempts. Do you believe that Buffalo's defense and run game are good enough with the great James Cook? Thanks, Bobby, for the fantasy football insight in drafting him. Do you believe that those are going to be strong enough to make Buffalo for real and their wide receiving core going to have enough? I'm scared to say yes right now.
I buy Buffalo just because, to me, Buffalo's been a contender for the last couple of years. So, to me, they're just showing, hey, we didn't lose a step. Like they're not having to prove to me that they're better than I thought because they've been good for 5 years. So to me, they're just showing, hey, we haven't lost a step like maybe you thought. And Arizona might be a better team than we thought. They beat the snot out of the Rams, who, you know, that was...
That's why Choppy's giving them credit for the Arizona
win. It's an impressive drubbing. By the way, Josh Allen, 30th in pass attempts in the NFL right now, one spot behind Justin Fields. And then Justin Herbert, one spot ahead of Justin Fields. Oh. He's 28th.
How good is Buffalo's defense? Like, give me their players.
Besides they're old.
Old-ass Vaughn.
Yeah, see, that's the biggest thing with
them.
That's
my concern with they're old.
They're the oldest team in the NFL, by a significant margin, I think. But, I mean, they've still got, you know, Matt Milano. They've got, who else is on that roster? Greg Rousseau, Ed Oliver.
I'm going to say no. Pretender.
Okay. All right. Minnesota.
No. They don't. I mean, like, I can't trust that Sam Darnold. Somebody had this note. I can't remember. Like, the first three starts of Darnold's season, the last 3 or 4 years, he's, like, lost one game.
Yeah.
And so for some reason he starts really strong and then he's like the anti-Burrow.
Or maybe you really believe in the newfound connection between quarterback and head coach. This is Kevin O'Connell getting a little emotional talking about Sam.
Against his former team, just the amount of work that goes into that position on your quarterback journey when everybody decides that you cannot play. We always believed in him and, felt awesome to watch him go do that thing. So I'm really proud of Sam Darnold.
They dominated the Giants, whoop-de-doo, yep. 28-6, but they also handled San Francisco, and they have the Texans coming up week 3. I will still say pretender.
I say pretender as well.
I'm hoping, though, that Sam Darnold is like the next Geno Smith.
I think they are Seattle from 2 years ago. Well, they made the playoffs maybe, but like they're not really a threat. New Orleans.
That's a legit team. I think they are a contender. When you watch them on tape, they are that offense. The offensive line is going to be one of the 5 best in the NFL, and that play design's really good.
Where are you?
I think they are.
I'll say they are.
Your favorite quarterback.
Gosh.
Here's an interesting
election year car. Atolo sent me during the election years. He blows up.
Tampa.
Ooh.
And I say no here. They got thoroughly dominated in that game.
Thoroughly dominated in what game?
The Detroit game. They were the first team ever to win a game where they were outgained by 200 yards and had 5 fewer sacks than the other team. Like, the Lions had 7 red zone trips. They only came with 1 touchdown. Like, they should have lost that game by 2 scores.
How good is their defense?
Red zone defense, very good, apparently.
Okay. It wasn't great last year. It's not like they overhauled it. To me, they're a playoff team, but no, they can't win the Super Bowl. They were a playoff team last year. Baker's clearly comfortable there. Mm-hmm. They've found a nice little way to be a competitive football team, but I don't think they're legitimately contending.
I could see them winning a couple games in the playoffs. Like, I think they could sneakily do it. I don't think they're a powerhouse. Baker, Godwin, Evans. Like, how much is this Baker revival real? How legit is it?
He looks good. Like, it doesn't feel like it's smoke and mirrors.
Weapons. They mm-hmm. still have Evans and Godwin. I'll still lean towards no. So that's part one of contenders versus pretenders around the NFL here on Sean and RJ. Wyatt Lankford does it again. Did you stay up with us to watch the Aaron Hernandez show and everything else you need to know with Sean and RJ, the Hump Day Edition, coming strong with the 6 a.m. Club right here on The Fan.
Here comes Little. The swing and a high drive deep right field. Springer going back, still going back. He turns to look. It's out of here. Opposite field home run for Wyatt Lankford. That's his 12th dinger of the year. Rangers are in double figures now at 10-7.
Hixie with the call on this radio station. We are your home for Rangers baseball. It's 105.3 The Fan as they score 13 runs at the Globe to win a shootout against the Blue Jays 13-8. Wyatt Lankford gets on base 5 times. Adolis had a big hit. He had 2 hits with 3 runs batted in, and that overcomes Nate Eovaldi getting lit up in 4 2/3. He got hit 11 times and gave up 7 earned runs. The ERA at a 3.96 for Nate.
They tried. They tried to blow it. They had a big 5-run inning, and then literally, I'm like, okay, you know what? I'd be able to turn this thing off. Next thing you know, nope. There's a bomb, and all of a sudden it's tied at 7 again. And now you got yourself a game. And they, like they said, they tried. But then that late offense really propelled them in this one. Too little, too late. 10 out in the West.
10 out. And the Astros are up 5. I think Altuve finally decided that he could take off part of his uniform yesterday.
Oh, my gosh.
With his shoe and throwing a temper tantrum.
He is such a child. And I don't just mean in stature. I mean in just the way that he is. He had argued that he had hit the ball off of his foot. and then like made such a show of it to the umpire that he literally took his cleat off to show him, like, look, here's my foot, and got thrown out for it, and rightfully so. That dude is still, I don't understand how he didn't try to do any sort of like swaying or PR or anything after that. He just leaned into, I'm hateable, and people hate me, and I'm going to be this guy.
And that type of dude is genuinely loved in sports. The little small guy.
Yeah.
The great story. Clutch. Does all the things. I'm trying to think of someone as diminutive.
Diminutive.
Diminutive in stature that we like can't stand and don't like. You know what I mean? Darren Sproles. Like, oh my gosh, we love like little Darren Sproles. Muggsy Bogues. We love him and Spud Webb. Altuve, I know there's an AOS thing, but hate it.
It's the cheating.
Yeah.
You know, like we love it when you get there and
dipping out on every damn All-Star game.
Right. When you get there and it's like you overcame so much, but when you get there and you cheated, it's just like, all right, well now you're not so cool anymore. Yeah. You know? You're not so cool anymore. Like, you know, I hated Pedroia.
Pedroia is a good answer.
Well, this is because you like the Yankees.
This is making me rack my brain though. Now that you've asked this, I'm trying to think who is a hateable short player in sports. Pedroia is the first. You mentioned him. Okay, yeah. Pedroia like got under some people's skin.
I
but
don't like that. It's just, you know, the OIA at the end. It's very difficult to pronounce.
He was just Petey. He was one of those like you hate him unless he's on your team, guys.
Yeah,
like he was scrappy. And
I think everybody hated him.
But yeah, I mean, like,
yeah, scrappy.
Altuve, I mean, look, I mean, Deuce Vaughn, people are still trying to hold on to the Deuce Vaughn thing a lot of times. So, I mean, I don't know. That's a good question. I got to think about that now.
877-881-1053. In order to hit us up, Chris Young was on with the G-Bag Nation, and they asked him about the good news of getting his contract extended finally.
I appreciate it, guys. I'm happy that it's behind us. I'm looking forward to the future here and really excited for what we have to build upon. You know, obviously this year has not gone the way we wanted. That said, I'm very confident and extremely motivated to get back to what I believe this team can be, this organization should be, and most importantly, what our fans deserve. So there's a lot of work ahead. I want to see a strong finish here these last couple weeks, and then we'll turn the page on 2024 and regroup and be ready for 2025.
That was a great Altuve comp just made on the fan text.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a lot, first of all, but Jared Sandler is one of them. Cole Beasley.
Is that from Dawson's number?
Let's see. No, it's an Austin number.
Okay.
I was going to say that. I didn't want to get a text, though.
let's see. Patrick Beverly, Chris Paul, Danny Ainge, Steve Smith.
But Chris Paul's not even like – Chris Paul's a point guard, but I don't think of him as like one of these –
5'10".
He's not one of these like small for a point guard type.
Who else did you say? Danny Ainge and who?
Let's see. They wrote Pat Bev, Trey Young.
Did people hate Wes Welker?
No.
Ooh. Yeah, any of those, Amendola, Welker, anybody that played, didn't they all play with Tom and Peyton? They all went
Ray
Austin
Rice.
Colley.
Maybe Ray Rice, that's your answer.
Yeah, Ray Rice.
So there's your Ranger recap here on your home of the World Series champs. Did you stay up last night to watch the Aaron Hernandez documentary? I made it to episode and a half.
Yes, that's what I did. Yeah, I fell asleep.
I turned it off with 30 minutes left in the second episode. I thought it was good. We're biased. My wife, I scored cool points with my wife because I'm like, yeah, that guy there. She's like, why are you watching this? I'm like, that guy there, yeah, he was on the show. Aaron
Hernandez.
She
doesn't Tolo?
No. although when I get in the car, the station is on. I think she puts it on so Ollie thinks that his dad is cool on television. It's fake television. It's YouTube. But you can get it up on the TV screen. I thought it was really, really good to start off.
Mm-hmm. I did too. And that I totally forgot about him shooting his best friend in the eye.
Yeah.
Completely forgot about that.
So I'll go down my notes in order. You guys interrupt where you see fit. It starts off with him and his buddy at the strip club. And he ends up shooting him and thinking he's gone in, you know, some garbage dump parking lot. Then he's at this awards ceremony and he gets a phone call from that number. Mm-hmm. And it's the guy being like, you shot my eye out. I'm not dead. I'm going to kill you.
Not just an awards ceremony, like a community Pop Warner, like, oh, what a great community contributor you've been award.
You see the impact of the parents. Again, a lot, you know, much of this is going to be exaggerated overly and overly dramatized, but His dad was that drill sergeant, like just training you to be an athlete, wanted him to go to UConn with his brother, forget about visiting Notre Dame, forget about going to the University of Florida. He's sitting there fighting with the mom all the time. The mom apparently was cheating with a dude who was with a cousin.
His cousin's husband, Aaron Hernandez's cousin's husband, she was having an affair with him long term.
He's playing a basketball game and a fight breaks out in the stands over the affair. So that is embarrassing and humiliating. He moves out to be with the cousin who has some sketchy figures come by where he's drinking, he's smoking, he's getting tattoos even before he takes off for college.
Right. So he had the big tattoo, you know, after his pops died, which that happened real quick, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, it was like one day, it felt like the way they dramatized it, it was like the day after was that, that was it, that he was just gone. And it was like, whoa, okay, that really happened.
Which quick. That is how he died. So his dad died from hernia surgery.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. And it was like really unexpected. Like, he was told while he was in school that, hey, come to the office, your dad didn't make it.
I didn't know that was even a thing.
And then Bobby's favorite part, as he was texting us nonstop, play by play, Aaron's relationship with his quarterback was special. They had a special connection.
They kept saying, Aaron, you're special. It was very sexual, this first couple episodes.
Yeah.
And it explored all the rumors of the bisexuality and that internal war that he has there. But plenty of, if you're talking about watching this with the family, I don't know that this is like the gather the kids around
I
show.
I had Ollie in the room. That was a mistake.
Oh.
Opening up with the strip club. Fortunately, he was head deep in the iPad. But
Aaron Hernandez was head deep, too.
Then they start the concussion angle.
They did go through the CTE angle real quick. And you could tell, like, even in the opening scene where, you know, everything's kind of like...
They gave him that concussion in high school.
They gave him the concussion in high school. Everything's kind of slow motion in the opening scene where he's in the strip club in Miami. And
there's that fog around the
right,
screen.
And then it's like, okay, you know, you could tell. And one of the things, he was clearly paranoid. But by the way, if you watch any of these forensic files, we watch a ton of forensic files, the amount of people that commit these acts that are paranoid. And paranoia is like such a powerful
thing. It's like he thought his buddy that he shot in the eye was in on having these two guys looking at him in the strip club. He's like, dude, chill out. And he's getting irritated. He's telling him to chill out. And he's like, wary of this dude. Maybe you're in on something.
Yeah. So, and that's why he shot him. It appears. That's why. But they clearly were playing up that angle.
Yeah.
So the concussion in high school. And then he goes to Florida, and you think the star of the series so far is Urban Meyer's character.
The guy playing Urban Meyer. Now, there were people on Twitter last night saying they got somebody who looks more like Rick Pitino than Urban Meyer. But, man, this dude has the Urban Meyer voice and energy just nailed. That guy is stealing the show. In fact, I pulled a clip of it this morning. This is Urban Meyer and Aaron Hernandez talking at his house where he's basically trying to set him straight after a fight at a bar.
I want you to use those hands God gave you, those legs God gave you, not to knock some idiot around in a bar, but to beat the f*** out of your opponent.
I know.
Not just beat, f***ing dominate every single play. You want to get on the field? What will you do when you get your chance? Say it.
Dominate.
Louder.
Dominate.
When you imagine your future, where is it? Back in Bristol?
No.
No. Your family is in Gainesville now. And after Gainesville?
The league.
The Canadian League?
The NFL.
Ah, that's right. The NFL.
This guy is so good. And that's honestly what I've found myself after two episodes is like, I think I want to see them do something on Urban. Like, because Urban Meyer, some of the stuff they're getting into with him where he's clearly like at home and just like frazzled and stressed by, oh my gosh, like I got to win here. This isn't Bowling Green. And like the wife, like, dude, you need to slow down. Some of the shady stuff he does, the lawyers he has on call for Florida.
Yes.
It's really good. And the Urban Meyer angle of it to me so far is the most interesting part.
Hernandez punching a bartender while he's a freshman. They call the fixer. This guy just getting them out of all the trouble. They got Cam Newton there.
Yeah.
Stealing his computer, throwing it out the window.
They had 40 arrests in Urban's tenure there.
Yeah, they had like five before the season started. And the crew and the clique was Hernandez, Cam, and Pouncey.
Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, and I mean, you forget how many,
and they
like
bonded.
You
they
forget
did.
How
in
many
that one scene.
You forget
with Bobby Pouncey, sent us the side eye shot with the thumbs up from Pouncey.
No, it was
fun to go to sleep too.
Yeah, it was really. I wonder where they're going to take the Tebow angle, because they seem to almost be insinuating like there might be a. They keep almost hinting at like this like darker side. I feel like of Tebow, like him like side eyeing some things and him just being that is our quarterback and like the way that he's like a little more difficult. Like the way he walked in the locker.
Didn't get any of
you
that.
You didn't the first
whatsoever.
Time he walked in the locker and he tells Aaron Hernandez and he's like, he says something kind of crappy to him about the like, we're not back in Bristol, Rook, or whatever he said there.
Well,
and then there's like,
they have to try
the
to
glare.
Tebow.
You know who that is? That's Patrick Schwarzenegger. That's Arnold Schwarzenegger's kid playing Tim Tebow.
What?
Really?
Yeah, that's who that is. But I think the football scenes. Little cheesy looking. It doesn't totally look like they're in the stadium, but man,
the basketball one was the same way. I mean, like every time they do a basketball scene in a TV show, it's like a half court.
As they said, like one of the things I saw yesterday was this is showing you more than the Netflix documentary on Florida ever did.
College football kegger, and is this the last chance for this group of Dallas Stars with Media Day today? That's next here on Sean and RJ.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.